Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It is so powerful. And all those verses in there that give us the assurance of our salvation, the assurance of you as a loving God. We thank you so much for that. Open our hearts and minds as we open your word tonight and give us that assurance that we can find in your word. And help us to share that with others as well. Lead, guide, and direct it as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z and the word assurance right now. We left off in Romans chapter 8. Well, let's back it up to Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 and pick it back up here. And it reads, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." This we were speaking about how we are become one of the family when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When He quickens our spirit back to life and reconciles us with God, we become one of the adopted children of God. And that adoption will never fail, will never be broken, never be severed. As we continue studying the Scriptures of assurance, we see how the assurance of our salvation is and how solid and true and firm that is. Once we're in the hands of God, nothing can take us out of His hands. There are other verses that we will cover concerning this concept of how we become one of the family as we continue studying these verses of assurance. But for now, let's continue here in chapter 8 of Romans. And we see this word Abba in verse 15. If you look up the definition of the word Abba, it's used by Jesus Christ when He's praying there in the garden shortly before being arrested and crucified. He uses the term Abba as well. And now we can use that term. And it's a what you would call a term of endearment. Otherwise, in the English, you could say Daddy or Papa. More than just the official, very formal title of Father, this is a more closely intimate name or word to describe the relationship that we can gain with the Heavenly Father. Not just as the reverent God, but as the cherished love that He has for us and we have for Him, and how He cares so much for us when we can actually use this term when we address Him. Because as we have said in the past, this was not available to man up until the point of Jesus Christ made this possible. Only ones that ever had this relationship was Adam and Eve in the garden. And when they failed in chapter 3 and turned against God, they lost that relationship. They lost the ability and the opportunity to be able to have that relationship at that time until getting forgiveness. We don't know what their final situation was, whether they ever got forgiveness or not. But we know that the relationship of being able to say Abba, Father, was never available to any of the prophets. And of all that time past, all the way up to Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross, gave us the opportunity to become one of the joint heirs with Him and become one of the sons and daughters of God. So it's such an awesome opportunity that should not be overlooked. We should take advantage of that and realize how much He loves us and how much He's provided us and the grace that is put upon us in order to be able to have that relationship once again. Verse 16, because the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Now this Spirit, if you see in the King James Version here, the word Spirit is capitalized and indicating that this is a reference to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ is living within us when we receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior and become one of His family. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Which is awesome when you think about it, because when we receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, the Holy Ghost moves into us, then our spirit, which was prior to that event dead, now is brought to life. And now is communicating with the Spirit of God within us and giving us that connection, that relationship. And the Spirit of God within us is communicating directly with the Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ and is completing that whole circuit so that we have that connection all the way up to the Heavenly Father, where we can call Him Abba Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. A little note he throws in there at the last part of this. Yes, joint heirs, and knowing that all the wondrous, beautiful things He's going to create for the new heaven and the new earth, we're going to be part ownership in all that. We're going to be an heir to all that. But also let them know that you may be going through some suffering now, but don't worry about that, because we're going to be glorified later. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That is awesome words of assurance right there. Knowing that the persecution you might be going through, the tribulation, the trials, the heartaches, the pain, the suffering that you're going through now is nothing to be compared to the glory that you're going to be able to indulge in and benefit with and have pleasure in for eternity. It just won't compare. 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's just talking about that conflict that we have, the flesh and so forth. The creature, the flesh side of us, is going to be now have the liberty and the no more corruption. Is it delivered from the bondage of corruption? This corruption is the decay. We'll receive a glorified body that will never decay, never rot, never fail, never sin. This corruption is twofold: the corruption of the decay, physical decay, and also spiritual decay. So there will be no more corruption. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. This is a big picture here now. He brings in verse 22, indicating not only ourselves how we are groaning in this body that we're in, but all of creation, the entire universe, groaning and travailing. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. The desire to have that glorified body now, the desire to have that personal face-to-face relationship to where we can walk hand in hand with Jesus Christ down that beautiful street in the glorious new city that He's going to be building for all of us to be able to come and spend time with Him and praise Him and worship. We are anticipating that. We're groaning, we're wanting and desiring to have that relationship now. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, this is another clue here of the relationship that we have once we receive Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, and the power and the influence and the activities of the Holy Ghost within us. This one here about how the Spirit helps our infirmities. The Spirit of God being in us, praying for us, making intercession for us in things that we can't even understand, and things that we don't even know how to pray for properly, we can take confidence and assurance knowing that once we've received Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior and the Holy Ghost moves into us, that He is also looking after us all the time, even when we ain't got sense enough to do it right ourselves. But likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We cannot speak in a way that the Holy Ghost can speak to God directly. We can speak to Him through the Holy Ghost. We can speak to Him directly in our prayers. And we can speak to Jesus Christ directly in that way. But it still isn't anything compared to the Trinity itself. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. The connection that He has. And to know that that connection is in us as well. And that He, in us, is going to look after us and take care of us and pray to the Heavenly Father for us, for our benefit, to keep us in the way that we need to guide us, to heal us. Even you'll even have some healings that you can't understand or you can't comprehend because you didn't even ask for the healing, but yet you got a miraculous healing. It could have been others praying for you, but it could have been the Holy Ghost right within you praying for you so that you could be prepared to do the work that He has in store for you to do. He'll give you what you need, even when you don't even know that you need to ask for it. That is awesome when you think about it. It's not like we have to be so keen and so sharp and so knowledgeable and so witty and so informed and so intelligent that we know precisely what to ask for in the right times, in the right amounts, in the right manner all the time. If it was totally dependent upon our own personal prayer relationship all the time, I dare say a lot of us would be in a heap of trouble. But it's awesome to know that even when we fail in the way that we should be praying, the Holy Ghost in us is praying for us. And that's awesome, because that's what He's talking about here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That's the problems that we have, whether they're physical, mental, spiritual, whatever it might be. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Because sometimes we be praying for things that we shouldn't even be praying for. Because they wouldn't do us any good. They would actually do us harm. When we pray in a way that even the words of our prayers are filled with doubt or an uneducated way or an incorrect way, I should say. But yet, it's so awesome to know that the Holy Ghost in us is doing it right. And He's doing it continuously for us. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We cannot say what He can say. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, we might be praying in a way that's against the will of God. But we know that the Holy Ghost in us is not going to do that. He's only going to pray in a way that is going to be in the will of God because He is part of God. He's part of the Trinity. So we can take confidence in that. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Also, awesome words of assurance there. That even if we go and messing things up and get into some hard times or conflicts come our way, or persecutions come our way, or tribulation comes our way, that the Lord has an ability to be able to make a good come out of that bad and have it work to the will of God and work to benefit us. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Let us know that it was the plan of God all the way back from the beginning that we all have a close relationship with Him. He's got a place for every one of us, a work for every one of us. Even those that will never receive Him as their Lord and Savior, there was a plan laid out for them, but they missed it. They may die and go to hell and spend eternity in a lake of fire, and missing the plan that was in place that they could have tapped into and been a part of, but they lost that. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Awesome words there. If God's for us, who can be against us? We should go into anything and everything that we're encountering in the work of the Lord, knowing that He's right there with us. And if He's with us, who could possibly be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ who died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And in awesome, we have the Holy Ghost within us making intercession. We have Jesus Christ sitting right there on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So much working for us. And we don't deserve any of it. It's all by grace. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? This gets us into the assurance of our salvation that it is solid. Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those are awesome words right there. That lets us know the assurance of our salvation, lets us know that it is permanent, it is solid, it is sealed by the Holy Ghost, it cannot be separated. Can we mess that relationship up? Sure. Can we be chastised and be miserable as Christians because we're disobedient? Oh yeah, count on it. But will we lose our salvation? No. As we've been studying lately of how we talk about, and one of those verses is in here, how at judgment that our works will be tried by fire. How some of them be burned up because they were done in vain and with pride, not really for the glory of God, but for the glory of ourselves. But we ourselves will be saved, as the verse says. This is pertaining to that. Even our disobedience, even our failings, even our pride, even our own disagreement with God, our own anger that we might have toward God if something don't go our way, will not separate us from His love. Just like the illustration we used when you have a child. That child joys free for its entire life. You can even, you here in this, as far as this country goes, can put them up to adoption. But that even if they're put up for adoption, they're still your child. Because genetically they're connected to you. That can never be broken. That can never be severed. When we're adopted by God, that's permanent, solid, never to be broken by any kind of law, because these are the words of assurance that we have here. They will never be separated. So we read this again, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That love is solid, that is true, that will never fail. And once we are in His hands, we cannot be plucked out, as Jesus Christ taught us in some other scriptures there as well, that once we're in His Father's hand, that no one can pluck us out of His hand. All right, that finishes up Romans chapter 8 on our list. Let's go right into let's jump ahead in order of the books of the Bible and go to Galatians. And we'll come back to some of these others here. But turn over to Galatians, because this one pertains to the same theme that we're on right now about being the children of God. So Galatians chapter 3, pick it up here in verse 26. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, on this concept here of being one of the children, it reads, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus." That is awesome. "And if ye be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Son of... And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Other words assure us that we are part of the family of God. A family that is not ever going to be broken up, and going to be dysfunctional, and going to fall apart. No divorces, no separation by death, no separation by anything. Because once we become part of the family, it's permanent and solid and eternal. And that is awesome. And a God that will always love us even when we mess up. Will He chastise us? You bet. If we deserve it. While we're here in this realm, yeah. In order to get us back on the straight and narrow, chastisement can come your way. But that shows His love for us, because He wants us to be earning rewards that we'll benefit from for eternity. So be thankful that every once in a while He might have to slap you upside the head with an attitude adjustment. Hope not. There you go. But when you get that, yield to it and reap the benefit from it. Know that He loves you, and that's why you get some chastisement now and then. Way too many times we get the chastisement, people get mad at God and they turn away, and then they miss out on the benefit of growing through that experience and becoming a stronger Christian and a more productive one, and one that can witness to other folks that might be going into that same problem that they were just chastised for. So opportunities, that's that verse where He takes things and works them to the glory of God. I mean, to our benefit, all the way back around. I mean, He can take something bad, even bad that we're doing, and turn it into a good. While we're in Galatians, look on over there at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Since we're in Galatians, this here is the assurance that when we receive the Holy Ghost, some of the benefit that we have once we receive the Holy Ghost comes out in what He calls fruit. The fruit of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 26 here reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." It's like, okay, you might be somebody who is not full of love, who's not full of joy, who has no peace, who is impatient, who's mean, has no faith in yourself. And you get saved, the Holy Ghost comes into you. He can turn a bitter, angry, selfish person into the description He's given you here, because that's the Spirit of the Holy Ghost that can come through you. That's that whole battle that we talk about. Get yourself out of the way and let Jesus Christ and His love shine through you. And the fruits that are bared on you from that come from God. Because it's the Spirit. It's the fruits of the Spirit. Not the fruit of your spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit of God that is in you. We just have to suppress ourselves and let God be prevalent in us. And let His Spirit come out and display these fruits. Let's read these again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That's what I'm saying. You get your old man out of the way. That's got to be mortified. That's got to be killed off, taken away. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That means yield to all that Spirit of God in us. Get ourselves out of the way. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Don't let ourselves get puffed up because we suddenly see the Spirit of God working in us, displaying things that if they were of you, you could brag about. But they're not. They're of God. So don't be puffed up thinking it is something of your own accord. That now suddenly that you're a Christian, you're full of all this love and patience and goodness and this mercy that comes out of you that isn't really of your nature. Don't be puffed up with pride because it, suddenly you become that way, thinking, no, I am such a good Christian because I do such good things. Well, no, you're just a sinner saved by grace, and the power of God is now in you, working good things through you. So don't be puffed up with it. That's the little clue he's putting, the little hint, little extra little note down at the bottom. You know, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Because you can start getting jealous also of someone else's fruit that they're displaying because you might not be displaying it. It may be that you're not displaying it because you're suppressing it. You're not letting the Holy Ghost come to the surface. You're letting yourself take the lead. And then suddenly you become less loving and less joyful and less patient. And it's all you then. You've pushed the Holy Ghost out of the way and come to the front. When you start seeing your own anger, your own selfishness come to the surface, realize you're in the wrong place. You need to get out of the driver's seat, get back in the passenger seat and quit trying to drive. Let the Holy Ghost come in the front, in the lead. And then you will see the things like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness and faith, meekness, temperance. All of that will come out. And you'll be wondering, well, why am I doing such nice things? Because I'm not really a nice person. It's not you. It's the Holy Ghost that is in you. And tap into that fully and completely. And you'll surprise yourself. And suddenly you'll start having the full joy of your salvation. And hang on for the ride. Well, that's all we got for tonight. We'll get back into this next time and continue the words of assurance that we can find in the Scriptures. They are so many and so inspiring. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. It is so powerful. Help us to always stay hungry, to dig deep into the Scriptures, and help us always to keep ourselves out of the way and let You come to the surface so the whole world can always see You when they're looking at us. Thank You so much. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank y'all. Good night.